All right, Martin, what's your question?
So my question is, if you have the tree of God, it's giving you a word or a picture or anything that you as the person who receives the word doesn't understand, would you say we should still speak it out or like...
So...
if there's nobody to interpret the picture,
yeah,
that doesn't help at all, right? So it could be more confusing than...
So the question is, what do you do when you get a vision or a picture and you don't understand it yourself, but you have it for someone else to give to? What do you do with that? Is that what you're saying? Well, I would say that you could still give it to the person. I don't think you necessarily, there's a lot of times where you'll get something from God and he might not give you the interpretation of it, but your job is to still give it to the person, and it's their job to seek the Lord and ask the Lord for interpretation. Sometimes God will give you an interpretation as the person, as the giver of the word. But even for me, sometimes I've experienced in my own life where I've prophesied over someone and I didn't know what a vision or picture meant, and I still gave it to him because the Lord was calling me to do that in obedience. And it spoke right to them, even though I didn't know what it meant myself. But they knew what it meant. And so it spoke to them. They started crying, that kind of thing. So I would say you still give it, and it's not your responsibility to interpret it. It's their responsibility to seek the Lord and find out, okay, what the interpretation is. Sometimes God will give you the interpretation. But I think sometimes it's like, if you don't ask, you don't receive. And what I mean by that is like, if you don't ask God, okay, Lord, with the prophetic is good when you have start asking questions. Like when you get, like, that's kind of what I did with my friend here when we had our time. I asked him, okay, he shared, he had a vision. So then I asked him, okay, what does that mean? He is like, oh, I don't know. And I said, ask the Lord. So he dug deeper by asking. He waited. He got meaning, understanding of it. He shared it with me. And then there was one part that he was like, I don't know about this. So then I asked him, can you ask the Lord specifically about this part of that word? And he's going to, hopefully he'll share with me. So sometimes it's good just to ask God and go deeper by asking questions to the Lord. And the more you go, he'll reveal. But sometimes he's not going to just give it to you all at once. It's like he gives you a little puzzle and then he sees whether or not you're actually, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to seek him out more? You know, because it's a relational thing, right? He's a God of relationships. So that would be my answer to that. Yep. Okay. Next person. Andre.
I'd like to touch on Miley's question from yesterday, where's the difference between the Old Testament prophets and how they acted and the prophets in the New Testament?
Okay, good question. So there's a difference between Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. Old Covenant, so the Old Covenant, as you look in the scriptures, God chose the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, to be his people, his covenant people. So in Israel, you had prophets, you had priests, you had kings. God called, one of the differences is that in the Old Testament, there were only like maybe a couple, a very few number outside of the school of the prophets with Samuel. He had a company of prophets that he raised up. But most of it was like one or two people. It wasn't a lot of people that were prophets that were called to be God's mouthpiece or spokesman to the children of Israel. So that's a difference because of the fact now in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, in the church, there's a lot of people that are called as prophets in the body of Christ. So that's a difference. It's a small difference, but there's a difference. Another thing is that they, in the Old Testament, they were prophets to Israel. So they were specifically to the nation of Israel. In today's context, in the church today, we have prophets that are prophets to the church. So that's a difference too. I mean, that they can be prophets to nations, things like that. But the fact is that they, when you look at the prophets of Israel in the Old Testament, they were also the judges of Israel, a lot of them. So they actually had authority in the sense of judging the people and that sort of stuff. That's different than what prophets today are operating in. I would say another difference is the fact that in the Old Testament, the prophets were, their words were, are the scripture. What they prophesied, I mean, our whole Bible is made up of prophecy. So like they, what they prophesied was basically the word of God, the written in the canon, inscripturated word. So that means it's a different level of authority that they carried. So if they got it wrong, for example, in Deuteronomy, it talks about if a prophet is among you and he prophesies something falsely, you're supposed to stone him. He spoke presumptuously, he's a false prophet. So there was the standard was a lot higher because of the nature of it than it is in the New Testament church. So New Testament prophets don't have that same authority. New Testament prophets, another difference is that Old Testament prophets, they mostly operated alone. They were like lone rangers. Like the person who sought God's will went to the prophet where the prophet lived. So it wasn't like the prophet was in community or in the tribe necessarily. So in the New Testament church, prophets aren't called to be lone rangers. Prophets are a part of the body of Christ. They are in authority, they are submitted to authority. They function with the local elders and the pastors or the leaders. They're not in the Old Testament. They were high up on the pedestal. In the New Testament church, a prophet doesn't have authority. Whenever they go, if they are a translocal prophet, meaning if they travel like I do and minister in different contexts, they don't have the authority to tell the leaders of the church that they're going to what to do, how they should lead their church, vision. They actually come underneath the authority of the local elders and they submit to that and they minister and they help build. And prophets can bring vision and direction and guidance, but that has to be, it has to be done in relationship and trust with the leaders. And the leaders have to welcome that input and that counsel that they bring into their context, into their church. So that's also a difference in the sense of Old Testament and New Testament. Another thing is that in the Old Testament, people who needed to know God's will for their life, they went to a prophet to seek out what the, to know what God was saying, whatever situation it was. Like, for example, Saul with losing his father's donkeys. He goes, his servant says to him, hey, there's a prophet, Samuel, let's go to him. It was, and they even says that in the custom, they would bring a gift to the prophet and the prophet would tell them, okay, give them the answer or whatever that they needed. So in the New Testament church, in the New Covenant, that is, in some ways, I would call that illegal in the sense of what I mean by that is that like in the Old Testament, you did not have the Holy Spirit poured out upon all, on the people. I mean, there were certain people that were anointed, the Spirit came upon them, but living on the inside of them, that was a different thing. That didn't happen until Jesus came, died on the cross, buried, rose again, ascended on high, poured out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That changed the game completely. So what I mean by that is that now we don't need to go to a prophet to seek God's will for our lives. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He's the leader and guider of into all truth. He will guide us in our personal lives, in decision-making. We have an anointing that's within us, as 1 John talks about, or 2 John, that we don't need a teacher. He teaches us all things, that scripture. So the reality is that prophets can confirm, they can still do that in the New Testament and guide, but you don't need to go to a prophet to know what God wants to tell you about your life and what decisions to make in your destiny, your calling. You have a personal relationship because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you now. Those are some of the differences between those two. Hope that helps you. Yeah. Another question. Okay. In their life? Yeah, I have had that. Yeah, I've had a lot of different people that have come to me. I have a couple of different, a lot of different examples, but just got to think of one that I can share concretely here in this moment. Okay, so here's one. A friend of mine who lives in the States, I was at the time living in South Africa, and I spoke to him on the phone just to catch up. And on that phone call, I believe that was in, when was that? In the fall. It was in the fall of, I forgot which year it was, 2016, 17, something like that. Anyway, I had prophesied to him about like that next spring, basically, like in the month of February or March, that that there was going to be a big, just a financial breakthrough for him and his family. And that was just something that I saw that was coming. And so I had spoken that to him. And then next thing you know, later on, he contacts me. And this was in that month, February, or I believe February was. Yeah, not March, February. He contacts me and he says, hey, man, like you, we were just talking, catching up again. And he just tells me, hey, by the way, do you remember that word you gave me like a while back, like a couple months ago or whatever? And I was like, I think so. But because I prophesied with different people, so many different people, I don't remember everything. So he just brought it. He's like, well, you said something about your like financial breakthrough is coming and there was just going to be an increase of our finances for and our family and with work and different things. And he's like, it's happened. Like, it's happening now, like right now. And he called me up to tell me, or he mentioned it when we were on the phone call. So that's one example. Another example I had where called up the same friend. He was working in a... he was a photographer, I think, for a car company because he loves photos and he was working in this company and he was doing that. And I had called him, and it's funny because sometimes you don't even know that it's prophetic until the circumstances reveal it. But he was just leaving a meeting that with the meeting, a team meeting or something. And he was in his car and I just called him up on the phone. And I had felt like the Lord had shown me that there was that there was a something going on in the sense of the company that he was working with, the leadership that was unethical in regards to the finances and how they were running things, and really detailed about there's been some corruption, there's some money that's been kind of been taken, and God is just restructuring things. He's pulling people out of the leadership of the company that you're working for, and different things like that. So I called him up and I said, hey, this is what I just saw this vision of. This is what I sense the Lord saying. And he laughs out loud because he's like, dude, you just described everything that just happened in the meeting that I just came out of. And I was like, are you flipping kidding me? Like, that's crazy. And so even like stuff like that has happened. Yeah, I've had other stories too, but that's just a couple there. But yeah. Does that help answer your question? Okay, cool. Yeah. So, other people? The prophetic and what?
Tongues.
Okay, great. Good question. Never had someone ask it. I mean, I think that there is a connection, I would say. I think that, like, and what I mean by that is, like, when even in training and equipping people, sometimes I even tell, like, if you pray in tongues, if you have the gift or you have the prayer language, then that helps you to connect to the Spirit. Because when you prophesy, prophecy is not something that you do with your head. You don't think about it. It's not like you premeditate what you're going to say before you say it. That's not the prophetic. Because then you're in your head. You're rational. It's soulish. It's not coming from the Spirit. So prophecy is to come up out of your spirit. It's supposed to bubble up and spring forth like a bubbling brook or a rushing river. And so I would say, like, praying in tongues helps you to connect in the Spirit. Like, your spirit, the Holy Spirit in your spirit, it's communicating. And that actually helps you to be able to prophesy with greater, certain... in certain circles, they say unction, like the Pentecostals are unction, meaning anointing, like greater, you get more into this. It's more, you're into it. It's a greater, you're prophesying out of the Spirit, which is what you should be doing. And you can actually receive more clearly. So I do believe that tongues help. So even when I, like, for a meeting, I'll pray in tongues before I go to the meeting, if I'm going to be prophesying over people, because I want to be in tune in my spirit And so that helps. It really does. It makes a big difference in being more accurate and more clear and just more of an edge, a sharper edge to it, if that so to speak. So, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
How do you deal with the situation
that
when the receiver reacts really negatively, or when what you have spoken was actually wrong?
Yeah, how do you deal with it? So, what I'd say when someone, for example, if someone receives, rejects the word I give them, I just, like I said, humility is the key. Humility is the name of the game. So what I mean by that is that you come with, you know, I've had people say, sorry, it wasn't the Lord. And they responded really like negatively and like, whoa, like I was, and even the way I presented it was in a very honorable, humble, submissive way. And I knew it was the word of the Lord, honestly. And then I told them the word and they reacted. And then I said, okay, I didn't defend myself. I just said, okay, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. I apologize, I'm okay. And I just said, just let it, take it to the God and let's leave it with God and see what happens. And then I've had experiences where the person comes back to me later and say, oh my God, that was the Lord. And it came about, and I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I know. But of course I didn't say it to them because I'm not going to say, oh, I told you so. But no, not at all. But you do have those moments, and I think you do have moments, though, when you miss it. I've missed it a lot. And what I do is I repent, and I say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm learning. I'm growing. No one is 100% accurate all the time. No prophet. Jesus was the only prophet that was ever 100% accurate. So no human being is. So that is just the name of the game. But you never know if you're going to be right until you step out in faith and risk it. So prophecy is a risk-taking thing. So that's where faith comes in. I mean, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews says that. So anything in the kingdom of God, it requires faith on our part to be able to apprehend it or to take hold of it or to see it fulfilled. And so in order to know if you've heard God clearly, you have to step out of the boat and take a chance. So for me, I'm a person, I'd rather step out and try. And if I miss it, okay. But if I never step out, I'll never know if I'm going to get it right at all. So does that make sense? Yeah. Have I ever had a word of like... Like a warning to a person, like a warning word. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, discernment is a big part of the tool set of the prophetic. So you discern a lot. Not everything you discern or even revelation you share. Some of it is to be prayed for. I was telling Martin that on the way here. Because not everything is to be known. I think the reality is also in the prophetic, there's timing is important, like in regards to the prophetic and being on time with God and bringing a word that is in season and that's timely. Sometimes God will give us a word that is, you know, that you can't share, but he just says pray. And it could be, and he tells you to wait, and he tells you to wait a long time. It could be a couple months, it could be a year, it could be years until the person is ready to receive it. Because if you give it in a time where that person is not ready, they can easily reject the word. And they'll, because they're closed off or because of stuff in their heart. So God knows that, and he give you wisdom to know. But in regards to the warning word, yes, I've had moments where I picked up on, you know, something, or like, for example, I've, you know, I have had a word where I saw or had a premonition or a sense of like an accident or danger or something like that happening to someone. And, you know, in the moment, it's like, okay, what do I do with this, Lord? You know, like you don't want to assume anything. And that's why I said earlier, the assumption thing, it is just a bad trap to fall into. Because if you just assume, like even just with like the revelation you get, if you don't know what it means, you're not going to know how to apply it. And so even in that moment with me, I just was like, Lord, what do I even do with this? Do I even tell the person? Do I just pray? like I'm asking questions because this is like important. And then I believe in that particular case, if I can recall rightly, I think I told them, but I just, you know, I just shared it like in a humble way. Hey, this is what I was got. It just came to me about you. I don't know. I feel like there could be an accident. Just be careful, that kind of a sense of just, you know. So that has happened. But I say, you know, I think that with prophecy, there's three elements. There's the revelation, then there's the interpretation, and then there's the application. So you get revelation. Most of the time, the revelation part is quite simple to get. I think the more harder parts is the interpretation of the revelation you get. And then even more, how do I apply that to my life? What do I do with this, Lord? What action do I have to take? So I don't know. I hope that answers the question. Yeah, yeah. Is that possible, you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I've had seasons of that in my personal life where I haven't felt like God was speaking to me like in any of one of those revelatory ways that I mentioned yesterday. I mean, of course, I read my Bible and stuff like that, but in the sense of getting like a rhema word or prophetic or something like that, I've had seasons where it just felt dry, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, and... I think that I think that's part of the game. I think it's just normal. I think that's, you know, Christian life. It's just there's seasons. We go through seasons. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Don.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the shelf life of a prophecy?
Like, well, do you expect to die
that,
one day?
No. So all prophecy, all personal prophecy, and even all corporate prophecy, like what I mean by corporate given to a church congregation, is conditional. And it's partial. The Bible says we prophesy in part. We know in part, we prophesy in part. So it's partial. He never gives you the full picture. And then it is conditional, and then it's progressive. Progressive means it builds on. Like God will give you the one revelation, then he'll, after you take the step, then he'll give you the next, and it builds, it's progressive. Conditional based on the fact of your obedience, your faith, your obedience. Something, a lot of prophecies have where there's a timing. You know, it's one thing to get a promise. It's easy to receive a promise, but then it's hard to walk it out, the process. Because you have the promises of God, then you have the processes of God. Once you get a promise, then you're going to go through the process until it's fulfilled. And that gap in between is a gap of faith, and it's a gap of testing. And so patience is needed. Endurance is needed if you want to see it fulfilled, if it's a true word from the Lord. You need to not give up. You need to not disregard it. When it comes to the shelf life thing, what I do personally in my own life, when I get a prophecy, I will examine it. That's why I tell people to record it. Because then you record it on a phone, then you actually take it and you listen to it and you write it out. You dictate it. So then you can actually examine it. Because in the moment, when someone is ministering to you, you're not going to remember it. People say that all the time. Oh, I'll remember it. But you just don't. Because you're too caught up in the moment with God and the Spirit of God touching you and speaking to you. And if you're getting touched and it's emotional and you're crying, you're not going to remember that word. And that's why I tell people to do that, so that they can actually receive in the moment instead of having to try to receive but think at the same time of remembering the word. And you're messing up the whole thing yourself because you didn't even record it. So you can record it. You can go back to it later, write it out, and then you can examine the word. And you can say, okay, what aspects of this word that I receive, I take a highlighter. I take a highlighter, I highlight what parts are God's part, where it's God only doing it. Then I take a different color and I'll highlight, okay, what's my part? Because when God says he's going to do something in your life, most of the time when he uses that language, he means you are going to have to do it with him. It's not him just separately alone doing it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, the prophetic language of prophetic. So I highlight what part is really going to be God just sovereignly, supernaturally having to do, whether it's moving circumstances. Because some prophecies that are in your life, it's not just determined by your, there are other factors or pieces that need to come into alignment. So there could be, you could be doing your part, but then if it is connected to other people or circumstances, then God has to take care of those things behind the scenes to actually it all to come together. So you think about how supernatural that is, right? Because you can't strategize that at all. You can't control or make that up. That's how beautiful God and his infinite wisdom and knowledge is, right? So I say, highlight what's God's part, your part, and then even maybe sometimes what are the part of other people, if there's something in there about there's other people that are going to play, and it depends what the word is. But then I would say, then take what is of your part and do that. Take steps of faith and obedience. Because God sees your heart. If he sees that you're wanting to, he's going to honor that. Because he honors faith. So, and then the rest that is not, that you don't have any control of, then you just put it on the shelf. You say, you know, Lord, confirm this to me. Like I said, don't go seeking confirmation. Just ask the Lord to confirm it to you. And then he will, especially if the word is from him or the prophecy or whatever. And you go from there. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I hope I answered. Another question. I'm going to get some more water. Questions, thoughts, comments, rebukes? No, just kidding. I don't take rebukes in my meeting, only after. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just messing. Gotta have some fun. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, Don. That happened after I got baptized in the Spirit or filled with the Spirit, whatever terminology you want to use. That's when it was activated. That's when I knew I had, because then I started having different encounters that were prophetic in nature, experiences that I thought, whoa, what's going on, you know? So, yeah. And then the Lord spoke to me, though, out of Jeremiah 1. Like, if you're called to be a prophet, I'm surprised someone never asked this question yet. How do you know you're called to be a prophet or not versus just having the gift of prophecy? No one's asked that. That's interesting. That's usually the number one question people want to know. But God will speak to you because every prophet in the Old Testament and the New Testament, like God, they had a personal encounter with God where God revealed it to them and called them. And so people can't prophesy you into a calling. A lot of people think that, oh, well, I got the prophet who called me out and prophesied that I'm a prophet, so I guess I'm a prophet. No. God calls men or people confirm the call. So that's kind of how it is. And then, of course, there comes a time where it's commissioning and stuff, but those, no. Anyway. So. Anyone? Even a question, even something from your personal life, like experience you had, an encounter you had, and you don't know what it means or don't have understanding to it, or you have questions regarding it, anything you can ask or share, and then I can try to help.
It's not really a question, but a testimony that this passage line that we never met, at the retreat or something, and she just looked at us and said, "You're going to Germany." I'm like, "No way." Personally, I'm like, who are you? Hi, you know, and a couple days she just
Yep. That's good. That's a good testimony. Amen. Yep. And when I say put it on the, I mean, cause like, I don't know, people, you don't know. God sees so far in you. And so he'll speak to you right now in the present about stuff that is like down the road. And you're like, I've never thought of anything like that. That's totally not. For example, I was in, when we were living in Switzerland, my wife was working in Switzerland. She lived there for like 10 years. And when I moved to Europe originally, at the beginning here, I moved in February of 2018. I landed in Zurich, and she lived in Solothurn. And I went to a prophetic conference in Bern, at a vineyard church in Bern. And I remember this guy, prophetic guy, he was actually from America. He was in the conference, one of the speakers. And he prophesied to me about like God, like a calling to going to Eastern Europe and ministry and doors opening in Eastern Europe and stuff. And at the time, I was like, I had it recorded on my phone because I practiced that myself. And I was like, dude, this guy got it wrong. I did not have any desire for Eastern Europe. I actually deleted my recording on my phone because I was so upset. Isn't that bad, right? But I did. I'm honest. And I was just like, I'm rejecting. That's not God. Like, what the heck? Now, I like have a heart for Eastern Europe. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, all of a sudden, God just started to change my heart. And so sometimes God will speak things to you that you're like, you totally would never see yourself doing that, wanting to do that, never thought you'd even have a desire, and then God will change your heart, and it will happen. So now it's like, dude, I'm you know, excited about going to Eastern Europe and to minister in those places and stuff like that. And God's connecting me to different people and stuff. So it's cool. So that's just another testimony like what you just shared. Don't do what I did. Don't delete. Martin, do you have a question? Okay. Cool. Well, technically we have like 15 minutes time to spend, so okay. Doing yeah.
Something like this ever apply to us now that,
yeah.
That because you said that we should be careful enough and if we're not sure if it's from God that we rather not speak it or if it's not uplifting or encouraging or comforting.
Yeah.
Is there a case where it's this would apply to us?
No, it does definitely. There is a watchman anointing or a watchman like prophets are called, that's just another name for a prophet is a watchman. In the New Testament or Old Testament, you see there's different names for the prophetic office. Watchman's one, seer, man of the spirit, man of God. You know, these types of terms are you see that throughout the scriptures and the different names of the function. But I would say, yes, there is that element even in the New Testament and the New Covenant. But like I said, that's for people who are called to the prophet ministry, the ministry of a prophet, like the Ephesians 4 level of a prophet, not those who are just functioning in the gift of prophecy, because that's where it's just limited to edification, exhortation, comfort. But I think the prophet can do that. But it's the way you do it that's important. And so you don't do that in a public meeting. You don't like, you know... Most of the stories that I've heard, and I haven't had this experience yet, but where people have who are prophets or you know whatever who you know they ministering in a church or ministering to the leaders, and the Lord revealed certain sin in the person's life, things like that. But they never do that from the front in public in a meeting. You do that behind the scenes, where it's just the leaders, and you, because God, that's correct. He will, you know, he will use a prophet. The thing is though, I think he uses prophet as a last resort to try to bring a correction or a rebuke or, you know, because really I think God tries to get to a person through so many different other means, through pastors, through, you know, different things. But I mean, I have a story of like pastors being in a, you know, a secret life of sin, being in an affair, a prophet, you know, call, like not from the front, but behind the closed doors, where, you know, the sheep aren't there, you know, the leaders in a sense, and call them out, say, hey, like, it, God has given you, showed me this, and it was revealed, and it was true, you know, true. You hear those stories, and they say, hey, you need to repent, or, you know, I've heard stories, crazy stories, where God releases even judgment upon people in the sense of, like, he gives people grace. There is a level of grace that God gives. But there is a teaching in the body of Christ that I believe is going around that's just not true, in the sense that God is always in a good mood. God is always happy. God is, you know, he doesn't judge anymore because we're in the New Testament, because all our sins have been put on Jesus. Therefore, there's no room for judgment, even specifically in the prophetic movement. So any words of rebuke, correctment, or judgment, stuff like that is kind of like, or discipline is like, You, if you're operating like that, then you're operating under the old covenant, because that's not allowed in the new covenant. That's just not true. Like in the New Testament, you see God releasing judgments. You see it in Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, they dropped dead, and that was the New Testament. That was after Jesus had died and rose again and ascended on high. Like the reality is that like there's still that. You see that even in Revelation. Like you see it. So the fact is that. That's a big deal for me, because I think that we have too much of an emphasis in the charismatic church, or in church in general, maybe I would say, not just charismatic Pentecostal or revival type circles, that it's all about this kindness of God, goodness of God, and we so elevate one attribute of God's nature and character over the fact that he's a God of truth, a God of justice, he's a righteous God, he's a holy God. And so if you focus too much on one, you're going to easily negate all the rest of the aspects. And the fact is that, you know, Jesus is coming back as a judge. He's not coming back as the suffering lamb or the suffering servant, as Isaiah described him. You know, Isaiah had saw both aspects of the nature of God, the suffering servant and the coming king, you know. So, like, I think we need to have that understanding of knowing the scriptures, not just focusing on the New Testament, but Old Testament and New Testament. Because a lot of people are saying Old Covenant, we don't need that anymore. That was just to prepare us for what the New Testament and New Covenant has is brought us into. You know, we're not under the law, we're under grace, all this stuff. And I think it's just garbage, to be honest, because I think that, like, you know, Jesus is full of grace and truth. You can't have one without the other. If you're going to love Jesus, you got to love him for all of who he is or not. Like, and so, and we need to study the whole counsel of God, which is the whole word of God, not just pick and choose and cherry pick what we like in scriptures that we agree with that make us feel good in our own self and sin, you know, the stuff in our own life or lifestyle, our own, you know, we get comfortable. Instead of being able to say, you know what, there's things in the scripture that really could easily offend us, but we want to, you know, let go of our offense and say, you know what? I'm not here to make God in my own image. I'm here to follow the God of the Bible and serve him and to be transformed in his image. So that's important. Go for it. This is good. We have time.
You're wrapping into one nation, but they don't.
They're scared. How do I introduce it? How do I introduce that or bring that in? Good question. I just throw them into the deep end of the pool and hope they swim. No, I'm just, that's just me being cheeky. Sorry. No, they won't. They might drown. No, I'm just kidding. No, what I do is I gently, you know, it's like you got to have wisdom and you just gently kind of like walk them alongside hand in hand. And I just try to really help them. I try to provide a really biblical focus foundation of it, of the gift. So they see that, hey, this is in the scripture. This is in the word of God. And that it's not just something that people made up or whatever. And just provide a solid theological foundation of that. And then once people get that understanding, I think, then you help with, I think people who are against it, a prophecy, is not because they don't believe it's scriptural or theologically sound or biblical. It's more the fact that the experience that they had was negative. It's usually the praxis of the outworking of things that really turn people off versus the actual thing itself, if they actually believe. So I think that's more, the battle is more about that and helping to reframe their mind, give them a like cleanse their palate, so to speak, and give them a new taste of what this looks like in a healthy, mature way, how it can function in a local church. Yeah, I don't know if that helps answer your question. Does that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You have another question because you said you had more. Oh, but you, my brother, here, go for it.
Certain
it's the prophet. Amos 3, right? Yeah.
The question is, have you come across a secret that God revealed you as a prophet for the country, of the nation, of the church, of a person? The first question, have you come across a situation God reveals a secret? How do you deal with it? You keep that secret with you or you tell the party is what God revealed. Because prophet also has a responsibility to stand in the gap. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's true. Yes, yeah. Prophets are intercessors. But not all intercessors are prophets. So
that's my question. So have you come across that? If you thought all God to do something to one of the people in the congregation, what would your advice from your practical experience?
I have had experience where, you know, God has shared secrets. I think that this is kind of like the bottom, this is my like main thing is, and I'm surprised I haven't shared this yet already at this point and this weekend, is that for me, it's about the relationship. You can have the gift of prophecy functioning, but you cannot have a really good relationship with God, with the Father. And for me, it's about friendship, you know? It's about friendship with God. He shares his secrets with his friends. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. We see that, and God shared things with him. And so, like, that's the bottom line for anything I've said is I would just want to exhort you to pursue friendship with God, because if you pursue friendship and know him, get to know his heart, know his word, he'll start sharing things with you that it's not for the casual seeker. And, you know, it's not everything is like, oh, he's not, everything is not free in that sense with God. But to your question about what do you do with that, right? I think, again, you just need to have this, like, well, first asking the question, Lord, is this something that I need to talk about or do I need to pray about it first? And then, okay, based on whatever the Lord says to you in that, then the next thing I would just say would be like, okay, Lord, is there a person, because you could have the revelation, but you need to give it to the right person, right? Or the right group of people. So so you ask the Lord, okay, who do I give this to? What is this for? Is this for the whole general body of Christ, or is this for the leaders? When do I do it? In what setting? And there's a lot of questions that are like practical questions that you need, that need to be asked in regards to that. And then, okay, so then you give it to someone, then it's like, okay, what, how do we implement that, or what are the action steps? You know, it's like so many questions that need to be kind of like ask and then to know what to do with it, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
Have you ever felt like God giving you some seed of like, say, for example, good, destroy in nature, say, for example. So, have you ever felt like you have prayed for Germany, God not destroy in nature, and also the next time that you want to take it serious, for the first time, like,
about Germany or like a
example like with Germany, but in general, like God revealed something to you as a prophet, but he ignored it and you did not take it seriously. But have you ever thought like I could have prayed for it, like could have standing the gap
for it? No, yeah, I've had that experience, yes. Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because sometimes you don't know, you know, it takes faith to, you know, you. I think you don't, like, yeah, sometimes you just don't know. You're like, I've had moments where I'm just like, I thought this is God, I'm not sure, and I just let it go, but then next thing you know, it's like, oh, wow, I think that was God, and, but, I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't, he's not going to punish me because I did miss that earlier. It's like, well, I think the character needs to, we need to talk about the character of things, because even character is huge in this whole area. Like, not just about the gifting and all that stuff, but the character of the person, the people. And that's even part of the testing is like, okay, I'm surprised no one has asked what is the difference between false and true prophets. No one's asked that question. We don't have to talk about that because you guys haven't asked it, so I'm not going to put it on you. Anyway, no, but I'm just saying, like, there has to be a, you got, like, if you get a word, you need to know, okay, who, that person who gives the word, is it's important. Who, the character of the person. Are they someone who's walking in the ways of God? Are they displaying the nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit? Are you seeing the active? Like, that's one of the big, that's one of the big qualifiers and discerners of knowing whether or not a person is true or false. It's not about the accuracy of the gift. A lot of people think it's the accuracy of the gifting that makes someone true. And that's not true. You could be accurate, but if your character and even motives, like you don't know the motives, but God knows them. Yeah, all that stuff is important. So, well, it's 2:00. Close to. Yes. Yeah.
The person who criticized over Germany, I didn't know that at all. So
yeah. It's quite tricky. No, that is tricky. I mean, but so wait, what's your question? Is
but it's really tricky to know the person's
character. Yeah, no, definitely. I'm talking about when I mean that it's more of like, okay, someone who is a recognized prophet that you maybe have heard of or because, of course, you're not going to know everyone's character if someone gives you a word. And that doesn't mean you don't receive it if someone gives you a word and you don't know who they are, their character, really. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's important to know that in the sense of knowing true versus false prophets, like, there are some marks or qualifiers that bring that help us discern the difference between the two. That's what I'm just basically saying. Yeah. One is, it's just that, I mean, there's people that prophesy for money. That's false. You don't do that. There's ethics. There's ministry ethics or protocol. And that's just one thing that you don't do. There's a lot of things that, you know, but if you see stuff like that or, I mean, there's a lot of wacky stuff out there. You should be able to discern if you have the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of truth. You should be able to know, like, you know. You don't have to be brilliant to like see that stuff. I mean, really, you just gotta look, you know, and see like, oh. But you also can, even if you don't, for example, even if you don't know the person, just going back to you thing, you can feel, you can sense it. I mean, you really can. If you really tap into the Spirit, like you have discernment in you, you have the Holy Spirit in you, he bears witness with your spirit. Like you can pick up. I mean, you do that all the time. Like you meet someone, and after you meet them the first time and you walk away and you're like, I don't know why, there's something about that person that I just don't,
like, or I can't, but in the natural, you can't really pinpoint what it is, but you just sense or feel it, you know, or something, you know, that's your discernment speaking to you, telling you, even if you can't. So we do that all the time in everyday life. We just don't pay attention to it, but it's happening at times. So you can pick up on a person whether or not you sense genuinely humility, if you sense like a sense of like kindness, and I mean the fruit of the Spirit, you can be able to pick up on that. You should be able to. I mean, like in some level. So yeah, I mean, because it's about how you carry yourself. It's just, it's about the nature of a person. It's the nature of, you know. So at least I can. I think I was saying. Cool. So, should I pray and wrap this up? I guess we're done, huh? No more questions? Take a break. Yep. Last question. Last question in the nick of time. Yeah.
And I'm always confused using the words from myself, word from God.
Yeah, yeah.
So is there any, like, we can
track
ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could practice it. I mean, I would say journaling. Like I said the other day, like you, like in your time with God, just sit down with the Lord. If you're worshiping the Lord or just spending time in His Word, just get your journal out. Say, ask the Lord a question, let's say, or ask Him, okay, Lord, what do you think about me? Or whatever your question it may be, and then just journal what you sense, what comes to your mind. So you can practice that, and then you can look through your journal and kind of start to learn, okay, discern, okay, Lord, what is me? What's your voice? Things like that. You can practice with, I mean, there's a lot of tools or exercises or activations that you can do. Like, you can, are you talking specifically for yourself or for other people? Because you can do, like, if you're wanting to practice on just hearing God for other people, which is what prophecy is, basically, you could, I mean, let's say you pick someone that you know, and you write a letter to them, and it's just like an encouragement, like a prophetic letter kind of thing. I mean, you can take it, and you can make different creative ways of practicing hearing God's voice. I mean, I've done it where I've had someone where I've done exercises where you have someone who is in the meeting and you tell them, okay, you blindfold them, you bring someone that stands behind them, and you say, hey, okay, there's someone standing behind you. Now ask God, okay, who the person is, or ask him to describe it. You know, stuff like that. I mean, there's different tools. There's no one thing. So you just need to figure out what is a way that works for you and then just kind of go with it. Yeah. I don't know if that helps, but yeah, I mean, just, there's a lot of different activations. I mean, there's, you can get a book on, I mean, there's, I can recommend some material of people that I like or trust when it comes to that activations or helping you exercise that. But yeah. Yep. I think one of the big thing is the bigger thing is more of the belief that you can hear God. I think if you can destroy that lie out of your life that says you cannot, because that is a lie, it's come from the devil, then that's a big win. Then you'll start, because God's speaking to you, it's just that you don't pick up on it. You just got to turn your, like, your radio to the right frequency. And so I think that's a big deal, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So if you think, well, if you're believing this lie all the time, I can't hear God's voice, I can't hear God's voice, then you're not going to hear God's voice. So, because you're believing a lie, you're empowering that lie by your agreement with it. So you need to deal with that first, if that's what you're struggling with. And then that will make it a lot easier. You'll start to be able to recognize more of the ways in which God communicates to you. So, yeah. All right. We need to end it for the break. So, Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There we go.